Hey, Fairhaven, what's up? If you weren't awake, I hope you are now. I'm excited to be here with you. Welcome to our campuses, Beaver Creek, my people, Springboro, Northmont Classic. So it was great to worship with you a little bit this morning as well. And right here at Centerville and online, it's great to be together around God's Word. And it's my privilege to get to speak to that a little bit. You've all heard from whoever's hosting the service that you're in that we had a great summer of camp experiences investing in young people. And I'm so glad that we are a part of a church that invests so heavily into young people. We really believe that God makes some big moves in the hearts and minds of young people. And I'm so excited about that. You heard a lot of numbers over the last few weeks about how many kids are making decisions at camp, and just awesome to see God moving. But I just wanted to zoom in real quick and remind you of something, and thank you for praying, but ask you to continue to pray specifically in one area, one number that stuck out to me as we've been hearing all these different things, all these different decisions. You know, there was a number that maybe you missed last week along the way, but there were 7 students at our Life Conference that that went there, and they felt a call into ministry, and they're discerning what that is. And the reason this number sticks out to me so personally is because on July 31st in 2004, I felt that call into ministry at the Life Conference myself. I was there with a sister church that we have, part of our network of churches in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and I felt a call into ministry, and it's the reason that I'm standing on the stage here today. And so I want to ask you to pray continually for those 7 students who felt that call into ministry, because someday they could be a campus pastor at a Fairhaven campus, or they could be a global staff somewhere in the world that we can't even tell you about. They could be a worker in the next few years in maybe our kids or our students' ministry. They could be doing a ministry that God has prepared ahead of time for them to do. And boy, they need our prayers, church. And if you're one of those 7 who felt that call, I just want to encourage you, God has a huge plan for your life. And maybe you're discerning what it looks like in the next few years, maybe part of the residency or another thing that God's placed on your heart. But man, I am so excited to see what God does in church. Let's continually pray for all the decisions that have been made this summer in the lives of our young people. Those decisions are huge, and it's awesome to see what God is doing in young people. So keep praying. I'm so excited as well to talk about promises today. Promises, we're wrapping up the series. We've been talking about different promises all along the way. The promises of God are so important. And today we're talking about the greatest promise. The greatest promise. Now, David did a pretty good job last week with his promise, all right? But he doesn't get to talk about the greatest promise. I get that one. And it's arguably the greatest promise of God, and I'm excited to unpack the scriptures today to discover what that is, and really, really excited about that. But I've been thinking a lot about promises over these last few weeks. Little promises, big promises that I've made that maybe I've kept, or maybe I've had a hard time keeping. Big promises that were made to me, or maybe even just little promises that we take for granted each day. I was thinking about this. These were some of the promises that I've been thinking about. Maybe you've thought about a few of these as we've been talking about them. But have you ever thought about a coupon as a promise? You know, you go to the store. My wife and I, we went to Grader's last night, and the promise was better than what we thought. Like, we had a coupon, and we thought it was like, oh man, we're gonna get just like one ice cream cone for $1.55 or something. Like, it was like crazy, crazy good deal. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. So we have like all these phones. You know, how many of you guys have the apps on your phones? You got apps on your phones? I have all of the apps. We go into them. We are looking for coupons all the time. So we go in, and the coupon was even better. But have you ever gotten to a place where the coupon was expired? And it's like, you go up there and you're like, hey, I've got my Kohl's cash, and you slide it across there, and they're like, oh, this expired last week. And you're like, but I spent all that money and time getting this. Anyway, expired coupons, broken promise. I tell you what, the worst. I don't know if you have one of these, but if you do, you know it. Anybody have like the person that makes the promise to be there in their life, and it's like there's a 50% chance they're going to be there after that promise, you know? Anybody got that flaky friend that just isn't, you know? I feel like every friend group's got at least one where they're on like some sort of, when I was growing up, we had Thomas time. That was my grandma's family. They just showed up when they wanted to, you know? They were on Thomas time. Sorry, Grandma, if you're watching this. We love you and the time that it takes you to get ready. What about this? What about this? I mean, this is real. These are real promises, right? What about a gift? When somebody gives you a gift, it's like giving you a promise, right? And sometimes that promise is amazing. It blows you out of the water. And sometimes that gift, you're like scared to open it because you're like, I don't know what's in this one. Everybody get a gift that you're like a little nervous. You get a little guarded because it might, well, maybe disappoint you at best, maybe embarrass you at worst. But gifts can be a promise. We deal with promises all the time in our lives. And I remember there being a really big promise to me. I wonder if you've experienced this type of promise in your life. The I'll be there promise. You ever had somebody say, I'll be there for you? Have you ever experienced that where you have something big in your life and you ask somebody, hey, can you come to this thing? And they go, I'll be there. I had one of these moments in my life. I was starting a band, and I got together with a bunch of these. There was actually three brothers, and everyone was always like, well, Levi, why are you in that band? There's three brothers, and you're just like the extra guy. And eventually, honestly, they became like a band with a record deal and stuff like that, and it was after I left. So three brothers, it does. It wasn't the Jonas Brothers, though. I know you were thinking that. It wasn't the Jonas Brothers, but they got to make some music and do some cool things, and it was really awesome to see what they got to do. But I remember the first time we played at a public show where we can invite people, and we'd worked on this music, and I remember telling all my friends, everyone that I cared about, I was like, you gotta come see our band, and I got so many, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there. And it really shaped the relationships that I had because I knew who showed up, they really cared. And those who didn't show up or were absent from that, man, I really took note of it. It changed the relationship. I wonder if you've experienced this kind of promise, that I promise I won't tell. You get a secret. I remember having these in middle school all the time. Do you ever have a middle school promise that you've had? I mean, it's just like you want to trust somebody and you're like, man, I want you to know, like, I kind of like this girl. And then your friend goes and tells them and you're like, no, why'd you do that? I was trying to tell you that so that you wouldn't tell her, and now I'm embarrassed. Have you experienced this? I think we all have. This changes everything promise. I mean, this will change everything. I think, was it 2006? We got a promise from a company with apples all over it that this changes everything. Now they do that like every other year. They've got another this changes everything thing. And the truth is, these things changed everything. And a lot of us are asking for the better or for the worse. We're not quite sure. Jury's not out on that one yet. But this changes everything. I was also promised that green smoothies would change everything, but I'm not sure. I'm not convinced of it. But you know what does change everything? Coffee changes everything about the day. I tell you what, love coffee. All right, how about a promise that you made to yourself? Have you thought about any of those promises? Promise that you made to yourself? Over the last few weeks we've been talking about this, I've had several that have come up in my mind as I've been like, oh yeah, like I made some promises to me. And like when I grow up, I'll never be late. Sorry, Grandma, it's like still there. And then I had kids, and now I'm a little late. And we all have to get ready. It took so long to get everyone in car seats for so long. Now they get themselves, and we're not really all that late anymore. But when I grow up, did you make a promise to yourself somewhere along the way? How you doing with that? How you doing with that? What about the forever promises that you make? How about the forever promises? Do you have any of those? I made a promise to my wife a little over 13 years ago that said, I will, till death do us part, in sickness and in health, we'll walk together. And I intend to keep that promise as much as it depends on me and her. We made that promise to each other. So promises, this is what I'm learning, promises really matter to us. Promises really matter to us. Whether it's a friend who let you down or a parent who showed up for you or a secret that someone actually kept or maybe they didn't, promises have a lot of power in our lives. They build trust or they break it. And when someone keeps or breaks a promise, it sticks with you. When someone keeps or breaks a promise, it's gonna stick with you. And that's why what God says and what God promises, the promises of God, that's why they matter so much. They matter so much to us. But oftentimes we can struggle with the promises of God because we've had a lot of broken promises in our past. And I just wanna call this out, that if you've been struggling through this series, like the promises of God, I don't know if they're for me. I hope today the greatest promise of God will help you see that it is for you. That the promises of God, regardless of what happened, has happened in your past and how broken promises have really hurt you before, I hope that you can see that God comes through in his word every time. That he is for you. That his promises and his word is true. But oftentimes we struggle with it. There's this, psychologists talk about this an awful lot, where they'll say, if you break a promise, if someone breaks your trust, it's almost like you have a bathtub and it's filled with trust. The water in it, the water level, that's the trust in your life with someone. And when someone breaks that trust, it's like draining the water all the way out. And that's not all that surprising to us. What is actually really surprising to us is that whenever you need to build that trust again, it's like filling it back up with water, but all you have is a tablespoon. It takes time and time again, intentional effort and a lot of effort to rebuild trust. And so I want to recognize that if you've struggled with broken promises in the past, it might be really hard to take the promises of God at face value. You might want to test them out a little bit. Can I encourage you to do that today? To test the promises of God, to see that they are true, because I have a faith that believes that God's promises will always come true. That when he says, whatever he says, he will accomplish it. He will accomplish that in our hearts. He will accomplish that in the world. And he will accomplish that for eternity. Because he's God. I want to introduce you to a promise that you've definitely heard before. I mean, the greatest promise is actually simply put like this. The greatest promise is a relationship that starts now and last forever. The greatest promise of God is a relationship with Jesus that starts now and lasts forever. And it's found in arguably the greatest verse in all of Scripture. Do you know it? John 3:16. John 3:16, a verse that has been like memorialized in so many ways, that is on the bottoms of cups and on like the like little white poster boards in end zones and written across faces of famous athletes. John 3:16. If you haven't heard it before, I hope you hear it today and it changes everything for you. For most of us, we've probably heard this. We might be able to recite it by memory. So there's a tendency when we have something that's so familiar that it won't matter so much to us, but I hope today that we'll be able to lean in a little bit, because it's not that this is a simple thing to understand, though it is simple. It might be that we've over-familiarized ourselves with it, that we sometimes miss the amazing promises of God written in one sentence. It is a deeper understanding of the simple truths of the gospel that I'm really after today. So if you've heard this a lot, I encourage you, open those Bibles up right to that page. If it's not underlined, underline it, circle some things, bring your friends to this verse. Always point back to this, because this is the heart of the gospel and the heart of the scriptures. The greatest promise is found in John 3:16, and it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray to ask the Holy Spirit to ask, just ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate this to us, that it would be fresh for us today. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to come to all of us as we study this passage. Be in this place, be at all of our campuses, meeting with us online as we meet in living rooms and watching on phones. Lord, you're so much bigger than us. Help us to understand these scriptures, that they are a promise to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Whenever I started preparing for this, I was like, I hope I get to talk about this promise. Because I was thinking about how it's the promise of eternal life. That's where the verse ends, right? But as I've continued to look at it, I just see so much promise. I almost titled this message the promise of eternal life. I mean, that's what it's all about. I came to faith in Jesus because I wanted to spend eternal life in heaven and not hell. I wanted to make sure that I was saved so that my eternity was secured and happy and not what I heard so much about, which was weeping, gnashing of teeth. Hell's not a great place to go. Don't go there. And that is very true. But it's easy to jump to the eternal life, the end goal that I wanted, and miss so much. So let's unpack this just a little bit. It's the clearest promise of God. There's actually four promises in this verse. It's the greatest promise that God ever made. That God so loved that he gave, that whoever believes will receive eternal life. God so loved, so he gave, that whoever believes will receive eternal life. These four promises, man, they shape everything. Each builds on the other, and together they offer a relationship that starts now and lasts forever. The first, for God so loved the world. That is actually a promise. Love is a promise. It's not a feeling, it's not a theory, it's not a vibe that God throws out. A lot of people talking about vibes with love nowadays. I don't know about that. A promise. It's a promise that God postures himself towards us in love. It's a promise that he's coming towards us in a way that he just wants to love us. And so many of us, we grow up and we've maybe been trained to think or we feel it inside ourselves that God is far away, and that he's looking at us with condemnation, that he's looking to say, not that guy. You may have been taught that God sees you as a disappointment. But this verse starts by reminding us that God has a desire to draw close to you. It is because of his love for you that he sends Jesus. It means he wants you, not your performance. It's funny to think about God as like, but we think about him like this all the time, that he's gonna be there with like a performance review at the end. It doesn't start with a performance review. Eternity starts with God embracing you. For God so loved the world is where it begins. That's the first promise. He loves you. The second promise, that he gave his only son. And we talked about gifts just a moment ago and how we receive them. A gift is a promise. He promises this gift of Jesus. It's not something that you earned. It's not something that we deserve. He gave, and what he gave was everything. Jesus proves his love. He proves the Father's love by being nailed to two wooden beams for you. By taking the wrath of God upon himself. so that it didn't have to be placed on you. Jesus isn't just a good example or a wise teacher. He's the proof that God doesn't just say he loves us, he actually loves us. Jesus is the proof. He's the proof. The cross was the cost of that promise, and he paid it in full. God so loved the world, promise one, that he gave his only son, the promise of a gift, number two. Number three, that whoever believes in him. That's a promise of access. It's a promise that means you. It's a promise that says whoever, not the ones who are righteous on their own, not the ones who have a great spiritual resume that they can go, look, I went all to all the church services and I did all the things. There's no striving and there's no background check. Maybe you've been trying really hard to impress God. Checking boxes, saying all the right words, hoping it works. But this promise says it's not about trying, it's about trusting. Whoever, you may have had a lot of people look at you and go, not that guy. But God looks and he sees a son and a daughter who might be far from home, but he wants to invite back. He wants to invite you in. You don't earn the promise, you get to receive it. And that begins with belief, with faith. God so loved, promise one, that he gave, promise two, to whoever, promise three. And finally, the ultimate promise, promise four, that we should not perish but have eternal life. It means your story doesn't end at death. It's not like our life is a countdown. It's a continuation. It doesn't mean that this promise is just for someday. It's for right now. It doesn't start someday when you die. It starts the moment you believe and trust in Jesus. Eternal life is actually a relationship with Jesus that begins now and never ends. Man, every worldview has like a thing about eternal life. They're all trying to answer it. Like the world is trying to figure out what happens. Every religion has some idea of what happens after we die. Some say we're reincarnated. Some say that we're one with the universe. Some say that we get rewards based on how good we are or what we do or if we follow this thing just right. Some say that there's nothing after this life at all. But Jesus said something radically different than every other religion in the world. He said that eternal life isn't just about where you go. It's about who you know. Do you know him? He said this in John 17, verse 3. In John 17, verse 3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing, believing, and trusting in Jesus in a relationship with God. And I was thinking about how this really sinks in for us. How does this really sink in? Because there's like, I've got tons of relationships in my life, and what does it look like to have a relationship with God? And I thought about this, is that I have, for the last 13 years, from the 8th day of June, 2012, I have been married to my wife, Leah. And I have a piece of paper that says I am married. But how much does that mean that we're married, really, in the context of a relationship? Having a piece of paper changes legally some stuff. But when we have an argument, I don't go, we're married, you know? That won't get me very far. Relationships are more than just a piece of paper. Relationships are so much more. It's common experience. It's making promises to each other and keeping them. Relationships, they come with work. They come with conversation. They come with being with each other. To grow a relationship, you need just a few things. Most of it is being together. Most of it is being with someone. And that's why it's so amazing that Jesus leaves a throne in heaven to build a relationship with us on earth. That we could actually see him and know him. And we have the accounts of the guys and the girls who got to know Jesus and see what he did. And we get to know him through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Because it's not just a piece of paper that we have. It says we have a relationship with God. It's so much more than that. Our relationship with God is described so much in the pages of Scripture as walking. I love this image. It's just walking with Jesus. It said of Moses that he talked with God as if it was like his friend. And that's how he was known. And I want to be known in my relationship with God as being someone who talks to God like he's my friend, who walks with him every day. It's a relationship that like I just can't live without. And maybe you've been living without this relationship, and I think today, if that's you, it's time for a change. It's time to lean in, because these four promises lead us to a relationship. God loved, so he gave, so that whoever believes, whoever, that means you, will have eternal life. That life starts right now, the moment you believe. It's simple, but it's not shallow at all. It's available to anyone who says yes to the greatest promise that was ever made. A promise directly to you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is the promise you've been waiting for. This is the thing. This is the promise you need. What would it look like for you to trust Jesus fully? Not someday. Not like whenever I do this other stuff that I want to get done, or not when I feel like I have time. Not when I feel like, okay, when I'm getting closer to the end, then I'll make that decision. No. What does it look like for you to trust Jesus fully, not someday, but today? What does that really look like? Here's what I want to tell you. You might be afraid of being in a relationship with somebody that, I mean, you're just starting to get to know. It actually takes a long time to do that. Think of any relationship you've had, it takes time to build that relationship. And here's what I want you to know is that surrender to God is the pathway to a relationship with him. It starts with surrender. And that is true, honestly, of every relationship that's good. Look, those who have been married for a little while, maybe like 10 minutes, all right? You're probably learning that yielding is a good thing. Yielding to each other and supporting each other and going, okay, not me, but let's do what you want to do, actually leads to really good stuff in a relationship. If you're not married and you're looking to make good friendships, yield a little more. Look for opportunities to put somebody before yourself. That's gonna make really great friendships in your life. And if you find somebody who's also doing that, you know you found a good friend. Be their friend. Surrender is the start of a relationship with God. Yielding actually isn't losing, it's gaining a relationship that will never end. So if you've been holding off and keeping a barrier between you and God, remove that barrier. And I pray today that God would soften your heart to a relationship with him. It's like, it's a great analogy that happened to me this week. I was at a camp and I had the privilege of speaking to some junior hires about actually our essentials. It was really cool to talk to them about how we follow these six different things and try and do them each day in our lives. And if you're not familiar with that, just hit the website. It'll tell you all about it. But we were there and there's this zip line at camp, and my son, he was camping and he got to do the zip line for the very first time, and it was a scary thing. He'll tell you it was scary. It's pretty high up, and it took him a little while for that first leap. But in order to have the joy of going on the zip line and having the fun and the wind rushing through and having all that, the fun and excitement that comes from that, you have to take a really scary first step. And it's trusting that the harness is gonna hold you, that the carabiner is gonna hold you, that the knots, that those who are trained, tied, are gonna hold and be true. And you might be in a place right now where you're feeling like, I don't know if I can trust this God. I don't know if I can trust a relationship with Jesus because I've been let down so many times in the past. And I just wanna tell you, I know that that moment can be terrifying, just like it was for my son to take a step off the zip line to have the joy of the experience. But you must take that first step of surrendering to Jesus, saying, not my way, but your way, Jesus. I trust you. It's the only way to experience the joy of God. So what's your next step? Is it to start a relationship with Jesus? Is that you today? That you've never said yes to a relationship that starts now and lasts forever? Let today be the day. Lean in. Trust him with all you have. And he can promise it. I don't have to promise. You can test his promises. He's gonna come through. And allow your faith to be built. If you're struggling with that doubt, there's a lot of doubt in our lives. I've had doubts all over the place. And I got a question for you. Okay, so how many of you, if I said I have a dollar, just in my hand, how many of you would say, all right, I believe you? Just raise your hand, wherever you are. Even if at the campuses, raise your hand. You get anybody? All right, what percentage would you say here? What percentage would you say? How sure are you that I have a dollar in my hand? 30%? 25%? Just give me a number, any number. What would it be? 40%. All right. 40%, that's pretty good. That's almost halfway. I'm almost halfway there, all right? So here's the thing. Would you like bet 40% of your like belongings that I have a dollar in my hand right now? No, okay, thank you for your honesty. All right. So here's the thing. If I open my hand and reveal that I have a dollar in my hand, what just happened? The doubt faded. Guess what else just happened? Your opportunity for faith just went away. So when you encounter doubts in your life, friends, when you encounter doubts in your life, if you were really studious, it was in my pocket and I didn't. I'm not a magician. If you... Don't miss this. If you have doubts in your life, what if you started reframing it as an opportunity for your faith? I just want to challenge you. Maybe it is to renew your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to, like David said last week, hit the reset button in your faith. Maybe you've been treating it like it's just a piece of paper that you pull out sometimes, but you need to walk with him daily. Maybe you need to let go of the lie that the promises of God are just for someday in the future. Embrace the promise. Embrace that you have the Holy Spirit in you now, that Jesus can do a work right now that you've been waiting for. Maybe you need to celebrate your relationship with Jesus by making him known to someone this week. This should be an every week, maybe every day practice for us to tell people, here's what God is doing in my life. Not something that happened years ago, but if you're celebrating a relationship with Jesus, it's ongoing. He's always walking with you. Are you aware of that? And are you intentional with the conversations in your life to tell people? Because when we accept the promise of a relationship with Jesus, we discover that all of the promises of God find their yes and amen in him. All of the promises of God are found in Jesus. So if you've been struggling with all these promises over the last few weeks that it's like, I don't know if I've experienced that promise, let me tell you this, that in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says this, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. So do you want to experience the promises we have talked about in a greater way? We talked about the promise of peace, the promise that God will be with you, the promise that he will restore things in your life, the promise of returns, that what you sow, you will reap. You want to experience the promise of eternal life, and that means life to the full now. Start a relationship with Jesus, and you will receive the Holy Spirit that is the seal of all the promises that are found in Christ. For it says in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Friends, you can experience all the promises of God in a relationship with Jesus. We only got to touch on just a few of them, five of them over the last few weeks. But you experience all of the fullness of God in a relationship with Jesus. Start it today. Don't let another moment go past, because the greatest promise is a relationship with Jesus that starts now and lasts forever. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a God who loves us, that you sent your son to die on a cross for me, for us. Lord, would you speak to our hearts today greater than I ever could, that we would surrender to you, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. You are. So Lord, would you draw us toward yourself? Would you help us to respond to you? Would you help us to maybe ask for prayer today if we need it, because we need some help walking through this in community? Lord, I pray that you would help us to unpack what this means for us, because God, the greatest promise demands a response. And we can walk away from it, but Lord, I pray that we would embrace it. We would embrace you, Jesus. All for your glory, Lord. Do you give us this relationship with you? Draw us to yourself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.